Good morning and welcome to For the Sake of Your Eyes, a program which comes your way every couple of weeks on Connect FM, featuring Dr. Wendy Strauss-Watt of the Dubois Vision Clinic. Good morning, Dr. Wendy.
Good morning.
It's great having you back with us. And the topic I see that we're going to be discussing today has to do with concussions and traumatic brain injury, which should be an interesting topic to cover. Dr. Wendy, are there a lot of these types of injuries?
Yes, more than 1.5 million Americans suffer traumatic brain injury every year. And so many children are having traumatic brain injury too, a fall, getting hurt in a ball game.
Yeah.
I had a girl who fell and hit her head on the basketball court. I have patients who play football who have concussions. And so you've got to add all those in, as well as car accidents and other types of problems that cause it to occur.
And it seems like soccer is very popular in our area. It seems like when you are heading the ball, there's a potential risk for concussion.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Now, if these types of injuries are suffered, and we know obviously there are many of them that suffer those types of injuries every year, is there a chance at recovery or getting better? How long does that typically take place?
Well, it takes about 18 to 36 months. And optometrists play an important role in the care of patients with traumatic brain injury by diagnosing and treating the visual-related conditions and by working as a part of an interdisciplinary team with hospitals and clinics. I work with, they have concussion clinics at certain hospitals in Pittsburgh. They have quite a few. I work with physical therapists because it can affect the movement of the body.
Mm-hmm.
I work with any doctor or therapist who's involved. And sometimes we work with neurologists too. Mm. So treating TBI-related visual and ocular disorders can make a significant difference in a patient's rehabilitative process and quality of life. Some will recover within the first 6 months, which emphasizes the importance of assessing things early and treating early. But it's never too late to assess and treat the patients.
Okay. Now, for those of us, you know, we were talking about sports injuries, especially earlier, and probably many of us who have watched games have seen when a player has an injury surrounding the head, a lot of times they'll be checked for symptoms which would indicate that they are possibly suffering from a concussion. What are some of those symptoms and conditions that doctors are looking for and then that you are looking for whenever you are diagnosing a concussion or a traumatic brain injury?
Well, they include vision, cognitive, auditory, vestibular, physical, emotional, and behavioral dysfunctions. Symptoms can include sleep disturbances. 84% of the patients have those. Irritability, 84%. Memory problems, 76%. Attention, concentration problems, 79%. Mood swings, 76%. Headaches, 71%. Light noise sensitivity, 69%. Depression, 66%. Visual disturbances, 66%. Tinnitus or ringing in the ears, 58%. Excessive fatigue, 58%. Balance problems, 42%. And dizziness, 40%. And swelling of the retina can also occur. And we take photos to see. Now, I have a patient who was playing soccer, and she got kicked, and the ball hit her in the eye. Mm-hmm. And that created swelling in the retina. Because in a concussion, the brain bounces off the bony part of the skull.
Mm-hmm.
And so the brain can swell. The nerves and muscles can swell. When the eye is involved, the eye also bounces off the bony part of the orbit.
Mm.
And the muscles that move the eye can be involved, where they can have double vision, focusing problems, and other sorts of problems more concentrated to the eye. But when the retina swells, it's kind of like looking through a fishbowl, and it blurs their vision.
I see. Now, Dr. Wendy, you were mentioning to me a little bit earlier, before we came on the air, that you've experienced a concussion as well. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
We were in a bad car accident in 2001, and I got hit by the airbag.
Mm.
I turned my head, but it hit on the side.
Mm-hmm.
And I had so many other injuries. I had to have 11 surgeries. So nobody actually diagnosed me with traumatic brain injury. But I treat those, and I went to a continuing education class, and the doctor who was speaking had had an injury skiing and had a hematoma. Now, I didn't have any bleeding in the brain, but she had bleeding in the brain. And that's like Vanessa Redgrave's daughter died from that.
Right.
And she had trouble with time. It was a two-hour lecture, and she kept going. They had to stop her to two-hour time. And we had a break, and I usually sit up front. And she said, she came right up to me and she said, "You've had a traumatic brain injury." Mm. And I said, "How do you know?" And she said, "Well, the way you walk, the way you turn your head, you put your hand on your head to center things and concentrate." You know, she could tell just by my mannerisms. Wow. So I've had a lot of these symptoms. Now, right off the bat, I had problems remembering certain things. Things that had happened in the past, it wasn't bad, or immediate things, but things that are deeper in my mind, you know, I can't recall names at times, I have to have everything written in front of me because I don't want to stumble and bumble around. But at real common names and things I can't remember. I had a lot of light sensitivity. I had balance problems. I have some now too, off and on. But I really didn't get headaches, but I got very irritable. I had problems with mood swings at first. You know, you just blow up for no reason. Yeah. And I was at home recovering anyway, so I wasn't around patients or anything.
That's fortunate.
But that seemed to go away. But the light sensitivity I still have, and I was always light sensitive. And visual disturbances, my eyes would get very, very tired. I couldn't concentrate and read like I normally do. And I'd have to go back and reread and reread. And I just didn't get anything out of what I was reading. Mm-hmm. And right now I have a patient that I'm treating, and he was in a motorcycle accident. He was sitting still and somebody came and hit his, it was a trike that he was on.
Oh.
And he is experiencing some of the same things. And he gets up in front of people in church to lead singing and mm-hmm. things. He couldn't do that at first. Mm. Now he's starting to be able to. But his one eye has was injured more than the other, and it interferes with his vision. So he was actually seeing double. He couldn't read. He had problems recalling. He had light sensitivity. He had balance problems. All these ones that we were talking about. And as we've treated him, things have improved. He can read very good for a short period of time, but he can't sustain that. And the brain has shut the right eye off like a lazy eye, and we have to turn it on. Mm. And so symptoms can vary between patients. They can have more of one type of symptom or another one. I had a fellow and his son that were in a parking lot, and a guy came and T-bowed them in the parking lot. Oh. And the dad was turning, looking at him. Mm-hmm. And the swelling of his retina was much more than the son's. And it took him much longer. The son was driving, and in the driver's seat. And it took the father much, much longer to recover than it did the son. Mm. But it stays with you, and like the patient I was telling you about, I talk to him about it and tell him what I've gone through. And that makes him feel better because he understands that other people are having it. Because to look at you, you look normal. Mm-hmm. And people don't understand that there are these things going on. Now, most people don't realize that I've had a brain injury and doesn't really cause any problems with my thinking or anything. But it's the symptoms I have. On some days, my concentration is better than other days.
Yeah.
And usually now, like I have sinusitis right now, and when that happens, then everything falls apart because you can't hold everything together.
You know? Right. We're talking about concussions and traumatic brain injury on this edition of For the Sake of Your Eyes with Dr. Wendy Strauss-Watt. We're going to talk a little bit more about some of those conditions that patients report when they're dealing with this type of injury when we come back after this important message.
This is Dr. Wendy Strauss-Watt with an eye care message for the sake of your eyes. Driving at night is more demanding and stressful than daytime driving. Make sure that your eyes are examined regularly and wear up-to-date glasses or contacts. Keep the windshield clean inside and out and make sure your car lights are clean and working properly. Glare during night driving especially affects older drivers. Don't delay. Make an appointment today. Dr. Wendy Strauss-Watt, Du Bois Vision Clinic, 90 Beaver Drive, Du Bois, 371-2020. So with light sensitivity, there's a lot of things that we can do. I wear sunglasses a lot of the time, and even inside, like light coming in from a window, fluorescent lights bother me.
Yeah.
I keep them off in my office, and a lot of the patients experience that too in changing lighting conditions. Coming from the bright sunlight inside, even if you have sunglasses on, it can take a while for your eyes to readjust. And so we have certain types of filters that filter the light. Now, I wear an amber color, and that works very well for me. Mm-hmm. Some people prefer more of a green. I'm looking at your green over there. That reminds me. Some prefer more of a green color,
yeah,
or a yellowish color rather, okay, than the amber. And I have a variety of them at the office, and I let everybody try them on. Now, when people are working on a computer, the computer is lit from behind.
Yeah.
That light can bother the patient's, mm-hmm, eyes and make their eyes water, and they have more eye strain working on the computer. So wearing yellow filters like people wear night driving, that can help. And that helps with the overhead lighting and light coming in the window. So there's quite a few things, and they just fit right over glasses if you wear glasses.
Sure.
But most patients show normal to near normal corrected visual acuity. It depends on where the injury occurred and what area of the brain. Now, like I was saying, the patient that has the lazy eye now, we're trying to turn the vision on.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday he read very, very well with that eye, much better than he had. He improved about 4 lines. But we're treating him with prism, and prism is training his eyes to work more efficiently. He couldn't converge his eyes like we talked about on a past show. One eye would turn in, but one did not, and that was affecting his reading. He can read now, but just for short periods of time because the two eyes aren't working 100% together. So we're doing a lot of therapy type exercises for him. And one thing is light therapy, and you look into like a cylinder. It's a long cylinder, and there are filtering lenses, a yellow lens and a red lens, and you do it in the dark, and it works on the sympathetic and parasympathetic nerves as well as your regular nerves. So it helps the processing of information.
Okay.
And that's one thing that gets disrupted. If your eyes are seeing two different things, when that information goes through the nerves and the muscles to the brain then gets confused, and you can't spit out
right
what you need to do. Now, my handwriting has changed dramatically, and I write very, very small, and that's very common of someone who's had traumatic brain injury.
Oh, that's interesting.
And so I've had other patients. I had a patient that was changing a tire, and the tire exploded and came up and hit the head.
Oh, wow.
So it's like a concussive problem, like in World War I. That's when they really started,
yeah,
talking about traumatic brain injury. And it was the first war where they used certain kinds of guns.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of those military men had concussions afterwards. And
so the kickback of
in
the gun.
England, yeah, yes, they were treating, and just a loud reverberation,
right,
of,
right,
noise too.
Mm-hmm.
So they were treating them, and they've come a long way in the treatment of traumatic brain injury, especially with the Iraqi war veterans. They also have a lot,
yes,
of traumatic,
right,
brain injury, and a lot of, you get a lot of depression along with it because you can't do what you used to do.
Right.
But talking to someone who's experienced it and has overcome a lot of that, now some still is there. Now, like I was saying, I put my hand on my head, and I found that when, and I didn't realize I was even doing that.
Mm.
And when the professor said about that, the doctor said, well, you put your hand on your head, and it seems to center you and calm things down.
Mm.
Now, not everyone does that, but I found myself doing that. Now, I do it occasionally now, but when it first occurred, I did a lot, but I didn't realize, but it allows the brain to relax.
Yeah.
It gives you a relaxation.
Yeah. Now, I know some of these traumatic brain injuries and concussion type injuries that we're talking about, some of them are so severe that there cannot be recovery or rehabilitation. But most fortunately, we're talking about those that can. Now, is there a way that you can, could you explain to us, Dr. Whitty, what are the types of exams that you would give to somebody that you suspect is suffering from a concussion or a traumatic brain injury?
Well, we do a comprehensive binocular exam to see how the two are working together. We do an ocular health exam. I have several cameras in the office that we can see the fluid in the back of the eye.
Okay.
And they can't understand why they see, but the quality of it isn't like it used to be. And we can explain that. And when you can show them exactly what you see, that makes a difference for the patient. They understand that better, but it gives them peace of mind that you know what's going on and there can be treatments.
Right.
So one of the treatments that we do is for the visual dysfunction, and that can involve using lenses, prism, occlusion, using one eye at a time. So just like the fellow I was telling you about that his eye became lazy, the brain shut it off because it was interfering with the other eye, and I have him putting a Kleenex behind his glasses so that eye is patched off, and circling, filling in round letters in a newspaper. Now, that sounds silly, but by doing that, you're doing detailed work while the eye that is not functioning the way it should is shut off, mm-hmm. and that helps turn it on. We did a red-green coloring book with him, and you wear glasses, one lens is red and one is green.
Okay.
And you use a red crayon. So the one eye sees the picture, one eye sees the crayon.
I see.
If the lazy eye is shutting off, you can't see the crayon. So you can't see to draw. And he did that very well. We're doing home vision therapy, which is a computerized vision therapy like I used to do in the office, but we have a home version now. And there, he wears red-blue glasses in that, and there's an exercise where you work on each eye individually, and it has blue letter C's, and you have to push the arrow key where the opening of the C is, whether it's left, right, or up or down. In the blue, he gets 100% because it's his left eye doing that. In the right eye, it has the red lens. He gets some hit and miss now where he couldn't see any before. So it's starting to turn on, but it's slow.
Yeah.
And so we have to get both eyes working together, and then he'll be able to read more efficiently and he'll feel more comfortable. His eyes get tired. Like driving, he gets tired. And looking at a long distance when you're driving, you tend to stare and you don't blink as much either.
Right.
And on
right.
a computer, you tend to stare also. And that's why people get a dry eye a lot,
yes.
because you don't blink as much. So there's certain situations where certain symptoms will show up more. Other things you do, they don't show up as much.
Okay.
But they do lessen over time.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you ever encounter those types of injuries or concussions where it's going to involve something more serious for a treatment?
Yes, there's some patients, like I said, if they get hit around the eye, a bone can be broken.
Yeah.
In traumatic brain injury, when, say, a motorcycle accident and they don't have a helmet and they hit the road, they can have a lot of motor problems throughout the body. And I have patients who come in that are in a wheelchair because their depth perception is not working right. Once we get their eyes working better together, they can move along to a walker. And then eventually they can start to move around more easily and more comfortably. Their depth perception improves, so they can judge distances where they are and where they aren't. Proprioception, like when somebody hands you a pen or paper, they miss it when they reach out. And so we can train that. So I work with the rehabilitation group at the hospital, and I work with other therapists too in those situations.
Okay. We are talking about concussions and traumatic brain injury on this edition of For the Sake of Your Eyes with Dr. Wendy Strauss-Watt. And we started off today talking about the fact that more than 1.5 million Americans suffer this type of injury each year. We'll have more and some information about how you can contact Dr. Wendy after we come back from this message.
This is Dr. Wendy Strauss-Watt with an eye care message for the sake of your eyes. 90% of people who use computers, tablets, and phones complain of digital eye syndrome. It results from focusing on a screen for extended, uninterrupted periods of time. Symptoms include headaches, blurred vision, neck pain, fatigue, eye strain, dry, irritated eyes, and difficulty refocusing the eyes. Solve stress on your visual system. Don't delay. Make an appointment today. Dr. Wendy Strauss-Watt, Du Bois Vision Clinic, 90 Beaver Drive, Du Bois, 371-2020. So I have had quite a few patients with traumatic brain injury. One was a little girl who was swinging on a swing set, and she wanted to arc, you know, and flew off.
Wanted to go as high as she could.
And she flew off, and she hit her head. Well, as she when she came in, she had a lot of the symptoms that we've talked about,
yeah.
but her eyes did not converge. And we were able to train her eyes to work more efficiently. And she was like in second grade. So it really put back her schooling. Her reading dropped, and she'd been an A student prior.
Mm-hmm.
But as we treated her, then everything returned, and she did very, very well. I had another girl, it was a patient of mine, that we were treating for convergence insufficiency, and she was playing basketball, and she fell and hit the back of her head.
Oh, boy.
And when she came in, she said, I'm not seeing double, because we discussed double vision. As we've talked before, kids can't realize. They think everybody sees the way they do. But she had something to compare it to, because she'd seen double prior to the treatment with the prisms, and then she had something, but it wasn't quite double, and everything was double printed. So the eyes again were not working together. Now she had prism glasses, but we had to change those glasses, and we had to change them more frequently as she healed. So we were able to get everything back to normal for her too. And of course kids have on their side their age. They heal much faster,
for sure,
but it will come back to haunt them, just like any other injury, like a football injury, a knee injury. You always hear, oh, that's my old football injury. It does come back to haunt you. I also had several other patients. One fell on the ice and hit his head, and he had a hematoma. And in those situations, they have to relieve the pressure. And they had to remove a part of his skull. And he healed from that, and he came in, and we worked with the prism and got him seeing much more normally. He saw two TVs, and it just drove him nuts. He said, I only see one wife, though. So that was good. It was uncertain.
Was he thankful for that?
Yes. She probably was, too. But he did very, very well, and he was in rehab for a long time. And you just don't know how things are going to go. But each piece of the puzzle, I do one piece of the puzzle, but the therapists and the others do other pieces of the puzzle, and that all works for the whole.
Right. So, Dr. Wendy, as we close things for today, if somebody has taken a blow to the head, either accidentally or, you know, through some sort of a motor vehicle accident or through a sporting event, and they suspect maybe there's a problem here and they would like to come visit with you, how can they reach out to you?
Well, they shouldn't delay. They should make an appointment today, and they can call 814-371-2020. If you don't get me or a person, please leave a message, and we'll get back to you as soon as we can. And we want to give you the relief of the symptoms of traumatic brain injury and concussion. My office is at 90 Beaver Drive at the stop sign in Dr. Rice's complex. I'm in the back building. It has a capital D for dog, and it has a glass set of doors. You go in the doors, and it's the first office on the right. So it's handicap accessible. It's very easy to find.
Well, a very important topic today, Dr. Wendy. I know this affects a lot of people, and it's good for them to know, first of all, the symptoms to be on the lookout for, and then how to reach out to you if they need some help. And we'll be covering something else very important and interesting in just a couple of weeks. Thank you so much.
Thank you. This is Dr. Wendy Strauss-Watt with an eye care message for the sake of your eyes. Vision directly affects how you learn. 80% of all learning during a child's early school years is obtained through vision. 10% of all preschoolers and 25% of kids in kindergarten through sixth grade have vision deficiencies. Many of them are undetected because few children receive comprehensive eye exams. School screenings only pick up 5% of all vision problems. Don't delay. Make an appointment for your child today. Dr. Wendy Strauss-Watt, Du Bois Vision Clinic, 90 Beaver Drive, Du Bois, 371-2020.